I'm going to ask you a question this morning. And I'm going to ask you, who here had decided to be born? Did any of you here decide, I'm going to be born? Did I decide I'm going to be born on the 7th of December, 19... back something? Yeah. Did I decide that? No. No, I didn't decide to be born. And nor did you. So I'm going to ask you. The Bible says, the Lord said to Nicodemus, a very religious man, nothing wrong with him, you know, very religious Jew, and so on and so forth. And he came to the Lord because he saw something different. Amen. It was real.
Yeah.
It wasn't religion. It wasn't burning sacrifice and incense. It was real. And he came and said, Master, you know, read in John 3 for yourself. Master, he started asking the Lord questions. And the Lord turned around to him and said, you must be born again. Duh. Actually, that word in the Greek means, born again means, born from above. Not just born from any old person or any old doctrine, as some people are, any old thing. You must be born from above. But it pleaded that he thought, I must be born again. And he said, read it for yourself, John 3. He said, must a man enter into his mother's womb again and be born again? He didn't get it, and nor would you and I have got it.
That's right. That's right.
We do now, but we wouldn't have. He said, must I go into my mother's womb and be born again? And the Lord said, look, I wonder if I could just turn it up and John 3. Is it there? Yes, lovely. Well done. I say unto you, unless one is born again from above, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. Okay? Nicodemus, he's a religious leader. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Good question. Good question. Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Well, of course not. Of course not. Jesus answered, most assuredly, I say unto you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. I don't want to get into a theological discussion, but I believe, and I said to Bill once, Jesus answered, most assuredly I say unto you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. And that was to one of the top religious people of the day. You must be born again. You must be born from above. How do you get born again? Well, it's simple. When you know. Not so simple when you don't. But he said, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Let me tell you something. Unless you come into my house, you can't see what's in my house. You can see the outside, but you can't see. You've got to go through a door to go. And the Lord Jesus said, I am the door. And then it says to you, most assuredly I say unto you, unless you're born of water, now some people think that's baptism, I'm not going to argue here, which is fine, baptism's fine, and the Spirit, he cannot enter. Now, Bullinger, a very recognized teacher of the Word of God, said, and it's in the Greek, born of water and of the Spirit. He said it's spiritual water. The Greek puts it that way. Now, what is spiritual water?
Word of God.
The Word of God. The Word of God. And the Apostle Peter said the same thing It's spiritual water. Now, baptism, yes, I've been baptized. And baptism is a wonderful experience. It's not just dipping in and getting wet. It says here, Peter says, this is in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22 to 25. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. So there's a walk in Christianity. You get born again, born from above by the Word of God. I'm going to show you that in a second. By the Word of God. And then you obey. You obey. Just like you'd be obeyed when you think. Did you, Ken, come out of your mother's womb walking and playing football and being the fine man you are? No. You came as a babe.
Yep.
And same with spiritual.
Yes.
We come in as babes. But we've got to grow. The Lord expects us to grow. Okay? And you grow by His word and mode, so many different places. But you've got to grow. It says, seeing you obey the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren.
Yeah.
That you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Love is the end product of the Christianity.
Yeah.
Why? Because God is love.
Amen.
He's not loving, He is love.
Yeah.
He loves. Right. Okay, so as we go on in our Christian walk, I should be growing more lovingly towards each of the brethren, not just the brethren here, but everywhere.
Yeah.
And that's a walk.
Yeah.
You know, when you're first a Christian, there's t-shirts that say, don't...
Please be patient with me.
God. Please be patient with me because God hasn't finished with me yet. You know, we're growing, you know, and the Holy Spirit, and you can only grow by the Holy Spirit being with you.
That's right.
Okay?
That's right.
And you receive the Holy Spirit when you start believing in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
You are sealed by the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
You hear, the scripture says, you believe, and then God seals you with the Holy Spirit. And then the Holy Spirit starts to work in your life, changing you, giving you these taps on the shoulder, because now you've committed your life to the Lord. Okay? Okay, loving one another a bit. Now, verse 23. Being born again, born from above, of the incorruptible seed.
Praise the Lord.
Not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, which is what? By the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. That's how you are born from above. You believe, and you are sealed. When once you believe, you hear, the scripture says you hear, you believe, and you say, what do you hear? You hear about the love of God. You hear, you believe, you're sealed. Three things. Hear, believe, seal. It's in the scripture. I'll show this on Wednesday. But you hear, and what do you hear? You hear this. Christ came. For what purpose?
To save
you. To save you, yes. But for what purpose? So that you may, He wants a relationship with you.
That's right.
The Father, Father God, Father sent him to find you and me.
That's right.
You say, what about the other people in the world? I don't know. I don't know. All I know is this, that you were chosen from before the foundations of the earth.
Praise the Lord.
You were chosen.
That's right.
Because you were great people, nice people, better people than other people. No. Not at all.
Yeah.
And some of us were scoundrels. There are better people out there than in here.
Yeah, that's right.
No, I'm not being funny. I bet you I could find you some real nice people that are better than the people in here.
Yeah.
Nicer.
Yeah.
But not saved. Nicer, but not chosen.
No.
Nicer. And why is it chosen? Why were you chosen? Why? How?
To bring glory to God.
You've got to scratch your head sometimes. The psalmist said, David, the psalmist said, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Who am I that you should... I'm nobody. You know what I believe? What the scripture says. You know what I believe? He knew you would respond to the gospel of love.
Yeah,
he knew you would respond to his love.
Yeah.
Praise God.
And when Christ came, it's the Father that sent him, for God so loved the world that he sent. He sent his only begotten Son into the world, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And this life, this eternal life, is not something, it's someone.
Yeah,
it's not something. Heaven isn't something up there and I'm going to heaven. Without Christ, there's no heaven.
That's right. Yeah.
So eternal life is not something. You got life? If you haven't got the Lord Jesus Christ, you haven't got life. It's not me. I can show you from the Word of God. Okay? Doesn't mean God's against you. He sent the Lord to give you life. And so, well, we responded, or he knew that we would respond to the gospel of love. And when we were being called, we knew that the Lord, we always, I guess you had experiences before you came to the Lord, but God knew you'd respond to the gospel. He knew. He knew. And we've all responded to the gospel, the love of the truth. And the love of the truth is, he came, he healed, multitudes followed him. The religious people, they crucified him. Read it. And you say, oh, it was then. Look, he went to the cross to pay the sin of the world. Billy Graham said, don't think the Jews put him on the cross. He said, it was every single one of us that put him on the cross. You say, oh, I didn't. While he was on the cross, he was taking your sin and my sin. He was cleansing you and I by the blood of the Lamb. And the Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. What could have cleansed us? What could have cleansed us that we may have fellowship with God? Your good works, they're filthy rags, the Bible said. Your nice ways, they're all as filthy rags. When God came close in the Old Testament to men, they fell almost like dead. And Isaiah, the prophet, as God drew nigh to him, said, oh, I'm undone. Because, not because he was any worse than anybody else, he was a good man. But there's God and there's us. And God wanted a relationship, and he wanted to show us his love through Jesus Christ, which he did. You spurn that love, and you spurn God yourself.
Yeah, that's right.
He didn't come to condemn us. He came to love us. And a relationship with him is one of love. So when he died on the cross, when he went on the cross, he was taking the whole sin of the world. Now, where are we? That whosoever believeth in him, believes that, and clings to him, trusts him, takes him as Saviour. I believe it, Lord. I don't understand it, but I believe it. And the moment you believe, a pardon from Jesus receives. That's what the old hymn says. They saw something. A moment you believe. And I, like you, and like many millions of others, were just aimlessly going on with our own life. Aimlessly. Believing. You may believe there is a God, you may believe in Jesus, but did you ever have an encounter with him? He wants an experience and a relationship with you.
Yeah.
What is man that thou art mindful of him? What is man? That's what the psalmist said. Yes. David. When he was probably looking after his sheep in the field, and he looked up at the stars and all that. And then, what is man that thou art mindful of him? That thou bestow all these things upon him. And God wanted a relationship with you. A personal relationship. He doesn't want you to join a church as such. He doesn't want you to become religious as such. He wants a relationship. You must be born again. So Peter says this, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed. Amen. What is this word, seed, we're talking about? It's the word of God. And the word of God says, for God so loved you. But it says the world, you. God to love you. The world is you. That he gave his only begotten son. That whosoever, a murderer, a rapist, a robber, a thief, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Because you see, your belief rules you. Not you, your belief.
That's right.
That's important.
Yeah.
Your belief. If I believed, if I was at a, you know, these rope bridges you see sometimes from going across, like in these countries where, you know, there's rivers and all that, and these old rope bridges. If I stood there and I thought, oh no, no, I don't believe that world. It will hold my weight. Your belief will suck you right there.
Yeah.
No matter how strong that bridge is, your belief has stopped you.
Yeah, right.
The world knows this. Yeah. Psychologists know this. My friend, it was written in the Bible thousands and thousands of years ago. They're not presenting anything new. Your belief rules you. Now, if I believe, it will hold my weight, I will go across.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter what you believe, it's what is true.
Yes.
That bridge can hold your weight. But I don't believe it, you'll stay where you are.
Yeah.
The ones that believe it will go across.
Yeah.
And I believe that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Mm-hmm. Paul the apostle said, I'm chief of sinners.
Yeah.
Was he worse than anybody else? No, he was a very, very religious man.
Yeah.
Read it.
Yeah.
He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees.
Yeah, right.
He was a very, very religious man. So don't try to polish yourself up. It won't work.
Yeah.
And then one day, he was so religious, Paul, he was so zealous for God, that he said, right, this Christianity got to be stamped out. And so he had permission from the chief priests to go and get all the Christians and throw them in prison.
Yeah.
And not only that, but cause them to deny the Lord himself. Blaspheme.
That's right.
I mean, he was zealous, but he was zealous for God. He was zealous for God. He was a very religious person. Well, this continued for a little while. So he got permission from the chief priest. And to be a Christian then was dangerous, like it is in some countries now.
Yeah,
it's dangerous. They'll kill you for your faith.
Yeah.
However, he went off and he got permission from the chief priest, and he was on his way from Jerusalem to Damascus. Nobody was safe. Nobody. And up he went, getting them and throwing them in and doing this, all sorts of things. And then it was his time. The Lord met him on the road to Damascus. There he was going with, and he was zealous for God. It was all for God. But he didn't understand that God has sent his son to die for the world. He was still in the Old Testament where you do this and that. He missed the Messiah who God said, I'm going to send somebody precious to you, a Savior who has crossed the Lord. And you can know him and have fellowship with him. He'll love you. He'll take care of you. Commit your life to him. He's your king. We've got a Queen of England, but we've got a King of Heaven.
Yeah,
amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Now, I wouldn't want to do anything against the Queen, but he's my King.
Yeah.
I surrendered to him 50-odd years ago and never regretted a day. So there he was, Paul, going along, and then suddenly a light appeared, brighter than the noonday sun, and said, Saul, Saul. And when that is repeated, the same person that said Moses, Moses in the bush was the same person that said Saul, Saul.
Yes, amen.
And he fell. I bet he did. You and I would too. And the Lord said, why persecute thou me? Sorry, I'm persecuting Christians. But the Lord didn't say, why are you persecuting my people? He said this. You'll find it in Acts chapter 9. I know these are, you have to read them for yourself, really. Really. And Saul, verse 1. And Saul, breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest. And desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogue, that he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. They were going to cop it. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shone round about him a light from heaven. This wasn't just any old light. And the Lord said, I am the light of the world.
Yes.
And he fell to the earth. And now the most important thing, he heard. God has given us 4 ears and 4 eyes. You say, now that the preacher's really gone cuckoo. He has given us 4 ears and 4 eyes. He's given us 2 eyes here, but the Bible also speaks of the eyes of your understanding.
Yes.
Your eyes being open. You see, the world say, you don't understand it. Oh, I see that. What do you mean you see that? See? You see it, understanding. But he's also given you 2 ears. By 4 ears, you've got these, and you've got your inner ear. Now that ear hears the voice of God.
Yeah.
That ear. Incline your ear unto him. You know, I tell you for certainty, you will know when the Lord speaks to you.
Yeah.
You will know. You won't want anybody to convince you. You will know when he speaks. It will be a voice of love. It will be a voice of tenderness. It will be a voice of calling you to him. Like it says, there's an old hymn about Jesus calling you. Calling you. He called you to himself. He's not calling you into a church or religion. He's calling you to himself. You will know the voice of God.
Yes, amen.
Lorraine heard the voice of God this week. And it broke her. She will not be the same person that went in, the same person that comes out. And nor will you and I, when we go through a situation, we will not be the same person that comes out if we endure to the end.
Yeah.
Hold fast to your faith. If there's no change, what's it all about? If you go in a situation and come out the same, so what? But I tell you, when you go in a God situation and come out, you will be different. And a light shone from heaven, and he fell to the earth, and he heard a voice said, Saul, Saul, why persecute thou me? Who? I'm not persecuting you, whoever you are. Because he didn't know. I'm not persecuting you. I'm persecuting these Christians that believe in Jesus. That's who I'm persecuting. Persecute a Christian, you're persecuting the Lord.
Yes, right.
It says here, why persecute thou me? Wasn't touching the Lord, but he was touching his people.
Yeah.
So be careful, all of us.
Yeah.
Be nice to one another if you can. Have patience with one another if you can, by the grace of God. Okay? Forgive one another by the grace of God if you can. And notice I say by the grace of God, because otherwise it wouldn't be possible. Okay, it's the Holy Spirit that gives you, once you have the Holy Spirit, your life changes. And he said, who art thou, Lord? Well, he recognized he was somebody important, but he didn't know who. And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecute. You're persecuting me. It is hard for you to kick against the pricks. And he trembled. And astonished. I bet he did tremble. I bet you and I would tremble.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah.
But let's pause there for a moment. And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecute. It's hard for thee to kick against the prick. What does that mean? Well, let's look at it. In those days, it was a very agricultural land. They had oxen, sheep, this, that, and the other. Us Westerners don't know much about the such city dwellers and stuff. But over there, this is an eastern country, okay, where it's agriculture. And they used to have these bulls or bullocks, and they used to plow the ground, and they used to have a goad there. And that's why they put a young bullock with an older bullock to mentor it. Because the younger bullock wanted to go this way and that way, but the old bullock was trained to go walk the furrows. And sometimes, if it didn't go, it would kick against the pricks. And the prick, I'm not doing that again. And now, I believe Paul was being pricked.
Yeah.
He was kicking against it. Fighting against the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Fighting against the Lord. I know people out there who fighting the Holy Spirit, fighting the call of God in their lives. I know it. I know it. And I pray, Lord, I pray that you'll touch them. Pray and touch them. Some don't want to know, but there are others kicking against the prick. They heard, they know. They know the way to go. And they kick against it. But the Lord will have his way. They will very well have a divine encounter. You say, that's a bit strong. You and I had a divine encounter. When I got up that morning, when I was not well married, I got up, I went to work. How did I know I was going to meet somebody that day who was going to talk to me about the Lord Jesus? I didn't have a clue.
No.
I didn't have a clue. And nor did you.
No, that's right.
When somebody spoke to you, you didn't know you were going to be spoken to by the Lord. No. You had a divine encounter. But the Lord knew.
Yeah,
this book. And he said, right, on September the 10th, 1965, right, down the flock. Bang.
Yeah.
You say, well, that's... Oh, is it?
Yeah.
I could show you again. It's not from my words. You were written in the book of life.
Yeah, praise the Lord.
You were decided by God that you would be born again.
Yeah, praise
born from above by the word of God.
Yeah.
And the word of God that he loves you.
Yeah.
He loves you. He cares for you. And he's calling you unto himself to have a relationship with him that will change your life. A lot of people think that, oh, you know, I don't want to become religious. No, nor do I. But a relationship with the Lord. Oh. That's not religion, my friend. That's life. That's life. Life more abundantly. So we'll finish this. I am Jesus, whom thou persecute. It is hard for thee to kick against the prick. Even Christians are kicking against the pricks. Yeah. All they're fasting, they're yoked, and they're going there, but I think I'll go this way. Oh, no, I don't think I will. You know, I've read about that. We'll be thankful. And if you're stubborn enough, as some if you're stubborn enough, but I'll still go my way. Ouch! Oh! Ow! Oh! Ow! Ow! Until finally you can't bear it anymore and you'll come back into line. You know, it happens. It happens. It happens. So there was Saul. He had this encounter. And he trembled and astonished, said, Lord, what will thou have me to do? I surrender. I surrender. I remember the day that I surrendered. I surrendered. I heard the call. I knew that Jesus died for my sin. I knew I was a sinner. Not any worse than anybody else, nor you. But I knew that I needed the blood of the Lamb to wash my sin away, that I may be presented faultless before him. Not because of my good work, but because of who he is. I believe it, see. I believe it. I believe Jesus Christ died for me. I believe he's my Saviour. Where does that put me? That puts me in a place of righteousness with God. Because of my good works? No. Simply because I believe it.
Praise.
It's as simple as that. And as profound as that. And to finish off, and the Lord said, arise and go to the city, and it shall be told thee what you must do. We haven't got time to go into it. Read it for yourself. It's in chapter 9. You'll be thrilled with it. And he did arise. He was blinded for 3 days. And then the Lord spoke to a man called Ananias. And he said, I want you to go and pray for Saul. I want you to go and pray for Saul. And Ananias said, just in case you don't know, Lord, this man, you know, Lord, this man has come to throw me and everybody else in clink. It is like saying to you during the war, I want you to go and pray for the leader of the SS. Go and pray for, was it Himmler?
Yeah.
I think it was. Like, Himmler, go and pray for him. I bet you'd think twice. You'd go, is that you, Lord? It was serious. You read it in chapter 9. It's serious that he reminded the Lord, just in case, like I say, the Lord didn't know. Then Ananias answered and said, verse 13, Lord, I have heard by many of this man, how much evil is due to the saints of Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all that call upon thy name. Now, he was put into the Lord, like I said, just in case, Lord, you've forgotten that this guy is not a nice man you're sending me to. And what did the Lord say? He didn't argue with him. The Lord said, go thy way. Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel, just like you.
Yes.
You're not doing the work of Paul, but you're a chosen vessel.
Yeah.
The Bible says you are. He is a chosen vessel. You're precious, every one of you.
Yeah.
Every one of you is precious. Why can I say you're precious? Because it took a precious price to redeem us.
Yeah.
And that was by the blood of the Lamb on the cross. That's why you are precious. If you want to know how precious you are, look at the precious price that was paid on the Lamb. Stars couldn't have done it. The moon couldn't have done it. All the gold in the world couldn't have done it. All the silver in the world couldn't have done it. Only by the blood of the Lamb can we be redeemed. There is no other way. There's only one way. And that's by the blood of the Lamb. When God took the Israelites out of Egypt, he said, get a lamb, slay the lamb, and put the blood over the door of the lintel and down the side of the door. And go in, because the angel of death will pass over. But when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Hallelujah.
Right.
And anybody who stayed in there, in that house, whether you were a right scoundrel or whatever you were, whether you were a nasty natured guy or woman or whatever, providing you went in, you believed it. Those that didn't believe it, but providing you believed it, you went in. The same as Noah's Ark. All those that believed it went in.
That's right.
Everybody had the same opportunity. And said, I'll pass over you. Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear the name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went. You know, what faith to go to what would be classed as the leader of the SS when the Himmler and all the rest of them were killing all the Jews, to get the Jew to go and pray for Himmler. That would have to be God.
Yeah.
And it's the same situation.
Yeah.
He had to go. And he went. And he went. Prayed for it, and as they say, that's his history. He received his sight, and he went out preaching the Lord Jesus Christ and give the gospel of love to the people. That whosoever will come unto me, I will receive. I won't cast anybody out. Now, I remember that call.
Yeah.
It was a wonderful call in my life. I'm sure it's a wonderful call in your life. Which you'll never regret. But it's a walk. So let's pray. Father, we want to thank you, because unless we hear, we couldn't believe. And we thank you that we have heard your word that says, whosoever believeth in me shall not perish, but have everlasting life.
Yeah, amen.
We want to give you all the thanks. Lord, it's not by our works. It's not by our good deeds. We just simply believe. Only believe. And Lord, your word declares that you will seal us with your Holy Spirit. You will confirm it.
Thank you.
And that, Lord, that you also said that you'll never leave us or forsake us. And we believe it. We thank you. We are all saved by grace, by the grace of God, through faith. And we want to give you all the praise, all the thanks, and all the glory.
Thank you.
Amen. Praise the Lord.